Podcast Network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
The boys are back in town, ladies, but the girls are back in town right now, too, is what we're doing. We are back for Supernatural, Season 10, Episode 10, The Hunter Games. We're unfortunately missing Tom Connelly. He got stuck at work tonight. So it's just going to be the lovely ladies and myself tonight. Hi there, I'm Lindsay Wagner, and tonight I am joined by, let's start with, Miss Michaela Phillips. Hi, Michaela. How are you?
I am doing great. I'm glad to be back.
Glad to be back.
It was a really good episode.
It's good to be a good episode. How was your break since we haven't seen each other?
Yeah, sure. Well, Happy New Year.
And it was her birthday. Happy belated birthday to Miss Michaela.
Thank you, Lindsay. No, great break. Glad to be back, basically, and well rested and ready for some Supernatural.
Yeah. And sitting next to Michaela, we have Katie Campbell. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
How was your New Year's?
It was great.
Fabulous.
It's exciting that it's a new year and we're finally back. It's been a long time.
We've had a few weeks off. We've been awaiting this episode to find out what's going to happen with the Mark of Cain and Dean and Crowley and Rowena. We were left last episode, episode 9, seeing Rowena kind of getting close to Crowley and taking out one of his underlings. So we saw more of that in the episode today. And we also saw at the end of season episode 9 that Claire and Cass have gone separate ways because of Dean doing this major massacre. So this is all on the tail end of this coming into this episode, starting off the next set of episodes that we get to see. And we were all saying that we feel like this season has just so much more has happened than in season 9. We feel like we've already gotten so much more. What have been some of your favorite episode moments
so far
this season so far?
I don't know, it's like probably when he was Demon Dean, I would probably say.
Cause
like
full on demon.
Yeah. Full on, with the mark as well, which we've established he isn't. But I think that was something that they were continually promoting leading to like this season. And it was just, it was right there as soon as like episode one or episode two, it was straight away, bang, into the storyline of Demon Dean. So I think that would probably be one of my favorite parts because it gave us a lot to talk about, a lot to the viewers, probably that. And anything that was funny. Absolutely.
Well, I really love about the season is that we had Demon Dean. Now he's not a demon, but there's the Mark of Cain that's still a problem. We're introduced to Crowley's mom. There's so much. And I think that's what's really fun about the season. There's still so many more episodes to go. And they have all these things that they're stirring up. And I'm really enjoying the Rowena and Crowley relationship.
I love seeing that relationship as well. I'm hoping we get Cole back at some point. I'm hoping he has something to do with the mark and maybe taking it on or something. We obviously know that Cain is going to be coming back. Timothy Amundsen is going to be coming back this season.
Yeah.
So we've got so much ahead. Let's jump into talking about the episode. So we come into Crowley having, we obviously know, a nightmare. His minions, his underlings are killing him repeatedly, and he wakes up. And, of course, Rowena is
behind
there
it
to comfort poor Fergus, who's having a horror sweat.
You guys knew what she was doing when she brought out her hex bag.
The hex bag,
You guys
and I remember, like,
that.
We're watching. We're like, this can't be real. This is a dream. And
of course, they're not going to
that's kind of the, that's true. That's kind of the beginning of what we see. Rowena weaseling her way in and manipulating Crowley. This is the beginning.
This is just the beginning. We saw last episode how she was able to manipulate the woman that she was in hell with.
Myself.
And then having him kill his other main guy in charge.
Guthrie.
And now Guthrie this time. Who was the other guy last?
Gerald.
Gerald. Yes. He's got a name for G's. an affinity for G's. But so we see her manipulation start mm-hmm. and how she can kind of turn Crowley. But yet they have this very cute dynamic where even though he's upset with her and he's like, you abandoned me 300 years ago. And she gets upset and saying, I was a career woman. You need to understand this.
That was funny.
You know, but that you can tell he still definitely cares about her.
In a way, but he, it's funny because he's very smart about it, too. Mm-hmm. He knows what she's doing. He guesses. He's like, you're just trying to weasel your way out of here. Although I don't necessarily think she's trying to weasel her way out. I think she's trying to weasel her way into his position.
I think he's playing her as much as she's playing him.
I hope so. I feel like she almost has a little bit of an edge over him.
I do, too. Mm.
Because I feel like he wants to trust her. I mean, you always kind of want to trust and believe the best in your mother. I've never had to worry about my mom leaving me for 300 years. But you always want to trust your mother, so I feel like he wants to. And we see that he completely believes her and takes her side later on when the blade...
Turns up.
I think maybe he didn't fully take her side, but he's... questioning, he's kind of on her side because he's like, how could Guthrie know all of this? And, you know, she was right. I had dreams about this. And I think that she does have a leg up on him right now, but he's still going to, you know, oppose her. I just don't think he knows what she's capable of with all of her witchcraft.
And what do we think the end result that that's Rowena is looking for?
Right, like what's her motive?
To take his position, I feel like.
You think she wants his position, or do you think he just wants, she wants to rule with him and have power with him?
I don't know. No. She was sitting in that chair when Guthrie came in, and she was just like...
She was very content.
We need a more, what did she say, a more stiffer...
As soon as she saw him catch her doing that, something was wrong. She needed to sit in a chair and fix her back, or whatever she needed to do. But really, though, she was sitting in the throne trying to, you know, adjust to, oh, I can see myself sitting in here and ruling.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Like, the one thing, at least we know Crowley and Rowena have in common, as mother and son, is they both love the power, and they both kind of both want to be in charge. Mm-hmm. So I definitely don't think it would be something where they would, like, she'd want to rule with him. I just don't think that would be in the cards, but I definitely feel she'd want to take her over. But I don't know, like, she doesn't need the first blade to take over hell, does she? So I don't know if that was a different
This is new motivation for her because she set that spell out to find out what was going on, why he was leaving to go meet who she finds out are the Winchesters. Well, she knows the Winchesters from earlier, but where he was going and hears about the first blade, and she knows that it's going to have power. So her way to kind of weasel and manipulate in and take over in any way possible. And I think you're right. I don't think there's any way she's going to want to share of his power. She wants it all for herself. I just have a hard time thinking that she's going to be able to overtake Crowley.
I mean, you know what's interesting, though, is we think that she wants to be all for herself. But do you think he could ever potentially rule with her and be on that side of sharing hell? Because he did want to share it with Demon Dean at one point.
I would see it happening with Demon Dean before I would see it happening with Rowena. Yeah. Not even...
But he seems like more of a sharer because he wanted to share with Dean, so I was just curious. I don't think she is a sharer, though.
Mm-hmm. But it's a very different circumstance, I feel, at the same time, because Dean and Crowley aren't related. I feel like when you bring family into it, it's a different dynamic. Like, even if it was Dean and Sam, not ruling hell, but anything like where it's family-related, I think it changes the aspect. Plus, I mean... I just don't see Rowena's point of wanting to rule her, like, apart from just wanting the power or to be even maybe spiteful and take it away from Crowley. I'm not sure, because we know she wants to get the coven back, right? So how would hell help her with that if they're demons? Like,
well,
if
she's
demons, if it's witchcraft.
If she's got, what did she say? It was called the Great Coven or
the Grand Coven.
The Grand Coven. So, I mean, obviously if she's got the power from hell on her side, she has far more power over the coven than two.
That, like, got rid of her?
Yeah, so I feel like there's other ways. I just don't think hell is going to help her in the way that she thinks it's going to help her, and Crowley is just better suited for the position. But, all right, let's jump forward to Dean reliving this massacre, this mass killing that he had. And Cass and Sam... talking about being nervous about this and knowing they need to get help for Dean, and also talking about Claire because they know Claire has disappeared yet again, and Cass is genuinely worried about her and does think of her as a daughter figure, and I know Katie was saying she was really getting frustrated with Claire this episode, and she's just really like and bothered by her.
Yeah. I was, because she's just like, how could she even believe those people and tell them everything? The people, the two people, friends that she was hanging out with, she doesn't even know them, and she's spilling her guts, saying he killed him and my father's dead, and like talking about everything. And then they said that they wanted to bring him around for the meeting, and she just, oh gosh, you need to stop running away and getting in trouble.
Yeah, like didn't it tick in her mind when she's just telling them, oh yeah, he killed this person and that guy killed that person? Like, I feel like a normal person, like if someone approached us and was like that, like you wouldn't be that calm. Someone wouldn't like just take you in, I don't think, like how they took her in. And I remember, like, I was kind of contemplating and thinking, I was like, are they hunters? Are they like demons wanting to get to the Winchesters, get to Dean, per se? Mm-hmm.
I thought,
and
for
I was
sure.
Like, I just thought it was a very unusual dynamic.
That they would think they could protect her.
Yeah, I guess.
And then we obviously find out that they're not, well, mm-hmm. as far as we know, mm-hmm. they weren't any sort of demon or anything. So then it was really, where was there? They were so deluded to think that they could kill somebody that killed multiple people.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly what
I feel like
I was
the
thinking.
Only way, like, it came into play, that storyline, is to get Claire to then speak to Dean. Like, I feel like that was mm-hmm. the only use of the scene.
Or to speak like to Cass.
Yeah, she did speak to then Cass as well. So I liked how that ended, in fact, actually.
Well, we had Sam and Cass talking about the massacre and that Randy didn't deserve to die at Dean's hand the way mm-hmm. that he did. But whether or not he died, he still wasn't a good father figure for Claire. And she does need somebody constant in her life, or somebody that genuinely cares about her. And Randy wasn't it. And Dean, I think a good thing for him and what we're seeing this season is he's realizing this mark is really trouble. Mm-hmm. He knows he's crossing the line. And I think when we started the season, and even before we started this season, Dean was building onto this mark of Cain, and the killings almost seemed easier for him, and now he's kind of refraining and understanding that maybe this isn't so good. As much as he enjoys it,
he shouldn't do it.
He shouldn't be doing it. So he's got a conscience.
Which is good. Because Demon Dean didn't.
No.
Yeah, at the same time, his conscience conflicts. Like, there was a part where Sam said to him, like, I feel like you're giving in to it because Cain's lived with the mark so many years, and he's been somewhat fine, or resist the urge to kill, which I think I bring up like a couple episodes back as a prediction. I was like, there might be a way he can live with the mark, but I think that wasn't what Sam was referring to. But it's definitely, he has that conflict.
Well, Cain has had it for years too, so he's learned to live with it. So maybe, I mean, it's not been that long with mm-hmm. Dean, so maybe he can learn. And Sam did say that to him. He's like, you know, maybe you have to try to learn how to subside it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But like, Cain was able to subside it because of his, like, his true love, so to speak, like his wife that unfortunately died.
But
he promised her like that he would not.
So he
that.
Had a reason to not use I it, think, but he also had more. I think, like we, like Katie was saying, he had a few more years on having it that mm-hmm. Dean hasn't yet. He hasn't had time to live with it mm-hmm. to be able to sustain from using it and abstain from using it. But so we see Cass go to the door of heaven and Ingrid shows up, and we all know who's going to be with her. I think you, Michaela, had predicted this at the beginning of a season that Metatron was going to have to come back and help in some way. And how much of a help is he really going to be? Is he going to help? What's it going to be worth for him to help them? Mm-hmm. But we knew what was going to have to come from Metatron. We knew there was going to have to be some help from Crowley, mm-hmm. some help from Metatron, the Blade, everything, all in one. But what's it going to take?
Yeah, well, there was the part where Metatron says to him, it's going to cost you. And then have
every
you thinking,
step.
Yeah, every, yeah, exactly. Like, and I think that was kind of cool at the same point where it tied into the title of tonight's episode, The Hunter's Game. So I feel like it's literally going to be his hunting game each step of the way to find out how this can be removed, this mark. If Metatron is telling the truth, and he does actually know.
Well, and that's,
one would think he does, but he's been known to lie or deceive, like Crowley.
Know, yeah, he does deceive, but I do think he really knows how to
I do too.
Get this away.
I
hope so.
I genuinely believe that he knows how to. My worry is that he's going to end up screwing the boys over and only take it so far, and then the boys will get to a point where they have to eventually let Metatron go, and then Dean will still be left with the mark and not have the answer. So I feel like they can't do... I feel like the writers can't do that, but I feel like they're going to leave us hanging for a few episodes at that point where we don't know what the outcome's going to be.
Right.
I was just thinking, like, that could happen because we don't know how many episodes this Metatron storyline will go, because we do know, like, Kane's coming back, and that's episode 17, and this is episode 10... So, I mean, between...
So, is Kane coming back because they're going to Kane, or is Kane coming back because Metatron told him he has to go to Kane? Exactly, yeah. Or because it's failed? Mm. We don't know. And we know there's 23 or 24 episodes in the season, yeah. So Kane's coming back towards the end.
But Metatron did make the statement, he's like, the universe dies at the source.
The river shall end at the source.
The river shall end at the source.
Which is Kane, right?
Well, that...
One would think so. Well,
what's the source prior to Cain?
We don't know that.
That's what we have to find out.
Isn't it God? Because God put the mark on Cain?
Yes. So we have to go beyond Cain.
I thought it was interesting, though, that Metatron did say that when he had the blade going down his chest. It was obviously so much pain for him, and he did blurt out something, no matter, like, he tried to resist, and he wasn't going to tell him, didn't care if he was beating him up, he wasn't going to tell him anything, but that did come out.
Yeah, so we obviously see, it gets to a point where they have locked Metatron into the basement. They're trying to get it out of him. Dean comes in, has a conversation with him. Metatron says he's not going to do anything. He already gave him one little hint that he's going to need the blade. Mm. So that's when they're going to call upon Crowley. We'll jump back to that. But so he's going to need the blade. Metatron gives him this one tip and says, this is all I give you. You're going to have to pay for everything else. Everything else will come at a price. And Dean is not going to follow by the rules because Dean's in charge. At the end of the day, Metatron, you're locked up. You were in heaven's jail or whatever, and now you're locked up here in, you know, the bunker. Who really has the upper hand in this situation? I'm sorry. But Dean does. Right. And Dean is going to go full on, not total demon mode, but to get it out of him, and starts beating him up, we see, and then pulls the blade out and starts cutting him. Thankfully, we get at least some bit of information.
Right.
The question is, would we have gotten more if... Sam and Cass hadn't busted in, which, by the way, Sam's trying to break down the door, can't. Cass uses Grace, which Metatron has already called him out on for having Grace again and looking better, and knows he's still going to have to get his Grace from somewhere else yet.
I know. No.
You go, girl.
I was just like, don't know, because you have to have Grace, but he was that's all he had to do. He had to bust through and stop Dean, or else Dean was going to kill Metatron.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Dean said that himself. He said he wasn't going to be able to stop himself.
So he needed the guys to stop him, and we definitely did get that bit of information out. Perhaps now, because Metatron knows Dean is going to stick true to his word, he may be a little bit more helpful.
It constantly feels too, like, Dean has to be watched. Like, I was like, how could they be letting him in there?
Well, they're like, wait, where's Dean? Where's Dean?
Because I was thinking, I was like, how could that happen? Like, how could you, like, just let that happen?
And Metatron keeps telling him that it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse, Dean. Mm. I think we're in for some trouble.
Well, obviously, absolutely. I mean, but to the extent of what is definitely going to unfold now in every episode, because we're seeing past characters are coming back now as well, which is very interesting. We see lovely
Charlie coming back
next week.
Well, so we know the blade needs to be around. Does Dean need to be holding it? Does Dean need to have it on his person? Does it just need to be there? We find this out from Metatron. We obviously know that Crowley has the blade hidden somewhere. The guys call Crowley. You know, they have this meeting. Meanwhile, Rowena is cooking up a little spell herself, getting herself in with Guthrie to make sure that she'll instill his help and that he'll help her and manipulate him to help her get whatever she needs. And she finds out by doing a spell that it's the first blade. He's with the Winchester brothers, where the first blade is hidden, in the bones, in the crypt or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so she sends Guthrie to go get this. And we flash forward then to Crowley coming back, going to get the first blade being gone, coming back to the fact that she's sitting in Crowley's throne. Guthrie comes in with it. They have a little bit of words about it. And
he didn't want to give it to her.
He wasn't going to give it to her. He knew darn well that
it has to be handed straight to Crowley.
It has to go to Crowley. Crowley is number one king in command, and she wasn't.
You know what I thought was very interesting was the fact that he held it together so well. Mm-hmm. For the longest time, she tried to manipulate him. He's like, no, you know, he kept refusing to help her. And then he did that, but he still held it from her. He wasn't going to physically give it to her. But I'm like, then why'd you go get it at all?
No, in the first place.
You can't trust her. You can't listen to her. You're doing so well. He messed up, and then he got what happened to him.
He got killed. He got a blade. He got Rowena'd. He got a blade through him, and just as Crowley walks in and Rowena plays victim, that, oh my goodness, right. I was trying to help you.
It was so
He well knew played. All about where the blade was hidden and that you needed for who are, oh, the Winchesters, mm-hmm. and it's the blade, and totally played it off, and it seemed as though Crowley believed her, and she's like, who can you trust?
Right.
What are we going to do? And he's...
She absolutely played that, especially then when he's like, I had a vision of this, and that had been from her. I just thought the way that, like, mixed in so well together, like, the timing, everything, all of Rowena's work, manipulation, I was like, you know what, Rowena's really good. And I think it's safe to say from now on we can use the term, you've been Rowena'd.
You've been Rowena'd.
Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, she got him to believe her. Mm-hmm. And at least get him... I think she got some points.
She's running up a list, though, of all these people.
She's killed. I mean, she called her out for the whole Gerald situation. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, maybe it's a little bit different for this situation mm-hmm. with Guthrie, but I think she's racking up points now at this point to at least get him a little bit, even if it's just a shade over on her side. She's trying to build that trust with him, fake trust. Mm-hmm.
And Crowley has the blade now, but he's not going to give it to Dean.
That easily.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Without the mark being gone, but they think he needs it.
They think he needs it, and I think that was interesting because when Dean went down and talked to Metatron, and Metatron was like, do you have the blade? And he's like, yeah, I have the blade. And he's like, on you? And then when he reaches back, I was like, oh my gosh, did Crowley give him the blade? I didn't know, but of course he didn't have the actual...
I loved Crowley's opposition to it at first. When he met with them, he's like, are you crazy? I thought we were getting together to get a beer. I was like,
for their bromance.
Gosh. I loved that, though. I really missed that.
It was very interesting. And I kind of feel like with the first blade, Rowena now knows it's for the Winchesters. And it's kind of like, because she's manipulating everyone, playing everyone against each other. I don't know what good it would do for her, but I feel like she might twist it around and play it in the case where it's the Winchesters against, like, Crowley. Like, I think that'll be, like, her next kind of target. Like, that she'll want to check off her list so that he doesn't give it. Because he kind of has given it to an extent. He's like, well, I've gotten it out of where I hid it. It's yours, but I'm going to hold on to it till you need it or till you know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. So, essentially, I feel like Rowena might... twist that around to the point where then he might retract what he's already done in saying, oh yeah, I'll give it to you to remove it.
Yeah.
So
I feel like that would be like her next thing she'll want to check off, and because then she needs it, so she'll have it back.
So she has, and she gets more power then.
Mm-hmm.
So before Dean has this whole craziness with Metatron, he's a little phone call from Claire saying that her, you know, he needs to come and meet her, and so he decides he's going to go do this. Now, he does this after everything happens with Metatron. He goes to meet her, gets completely ambushed by her so-called friends that are protecting her, and Claire actually jumps out and yells, at least warns him. Mm-hmm. She realizes what she's doing is wrong. And they're easily overtaken by Dean. Like, I mean, very easily. Super duper easily. And we see him raise that axe that they came, Tony and his friend, who didn't even get a name on IMDb. I think her name in real life was Celia. She didn't even get a name on the show. Sorry, Celia. We love you, though. But Tony and the girl come with a bat and an axe, and Dean gets a hold of the axe, and we see him raise it. And Claire yells no, and he brings it down on the park bench instead.
Oh, gosh, y'all, I gasped.
Did we think
he was going to do him in? I thought maybe he was.
No.
The second time that he lifted that and raised it anyway, I was like, because he was swinging it down. I thought he was going for them, but I don't know. I'm just scared about this whole Mark of Cain and what it's doing to him. That's why I thought maybe it could go that way.
Yeah, no, I was actually the opposite. I don't know why, but I was like, you know, he'll just like smash it on the bench and allow us to think like he's kind of doing something. He already had them on the ground. Maybe he could tell they weren't that much of a threat, and he just wanted to instill fear in them.
I knew he wasn't going to kill them, and I think that's also a sign from the fact that he realized after being around Metatron that he's like, I wouldn't have stopped. So he's having these moments of his conscious coming in saying, okay, I can't kill these two innocent people. But I need to get the information from Metatron, so I'm going to do whatever it takes. And that's a little bit of a different story because Metatron knows the answer to this major problem that's plaguing Dean.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Sam, in turn. I mean, Sam and Dean are so close. So basically whatever affects Dean affects Sam. I think we're going to continue to see Sam keep trying to help Dean remove the mark, and we're seeing him. They make so many sacrifices for each other continually, but I definitely, without saying it, we're going to see Sam continue to help Dean.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Metatron calls out Dean by saying, "Look at all the," Dean calls out Metatron for all the things that have happened at his hand, for the killing of Kevin, for the fact that, you know, Gadriel, you know, all the stuff that's happened. And then Sam, or Metatron then calls him out and says, well, wait, how many people have you killed?
Yep.
How many people have you hurt, you know, and brought this into their lives? So after the whole issue with Claire and her friends, Dean leaves and we see Claire hitchhiking and Cass stops her. And we have a little more of a fatherly daughter moment where she says, I will call you. Get away from here. You know, get that ugly car out of here. I need to, you know, make sure somebody takes me. And I like you with the tie and gives him a compliment. And we feel a little bit of that. Maybe she's going to try and get her act together. Is that what you guys are thinking going to happen?
Absolutely.
We're going to see a positive change.
A really nice moment between them. I'm glad to see the characters going in that direction. Like, it's kind of like the character's growth and their relationship growth. And I guess it's kind of one of my predictions. I'll just, since we're talking about it, I kind of like the fact that they're on this like friendly relationship. And you know, she's kind of how hard would it be seeing someone that looks exactly like your father, but you know he's dead? So it's somewhat torturous if you think about it. Like it'd be torturing, like your heart, like everything.
That's
your
why
feelings.
She doesn't want to be around him,
right? But now seeing that they're going on like this path where they could at least have a friendly relationship, being able to talk if they need to. I like that. I like that they're going that direction.
Well, I hope that she can keep it up. I mean, she said to him she's going to try to hide away her demons, as it, that's what he brought up to her, that maybe we all have a little bit of demons inside us. And I just think she's so young for just hitchhiking and trying to make it. And she's obviously befriended a lot of bad people. And I just don't want her to find herself in trouble, hopefully.
She really needs to settle down and find, like, a really stable family. Mm-hmm. And she deserves.
Cass can't offer her at this point right now a stable family because of everything that's going on with Dean, which is why I think it was interesting to see him say, you need to talk to Claire because you both have defiant person to another. Here we have this. You guys need to talk and figure it out.
And he said, I'll text you her number. I like texting.
I like emoticons. I was like, I think we all had a little bit of like a laugh, silly, like goofy. Yes. Love that side of Cass.
Yeah.
All those little things that make him just such a lovable, amazing character.
Yeah.
In this show,
Cass can text us anytime, use the emoticons.
And I think the hardest thing for Claire right now is the fact that she lost her father, and you know, Cass has taken over this and looks just like her father. So it's hard for her to see her father, but he's not. And then the next father figure she had was Randy. And
that went so
Dean killed her. So she's like, she's frustrated with Cass. She's mad at Dean. So trying to find some sort of stability is going to be difficult for her. And she's going to have to completely turn over a new leaf.
And hopefully she doesn't find another Randy, though, who is making her steal for
affection and love.
Yeah.
In return, at the end of the day, essentially, for affection and love and to be somebody that's there for her who really isn't there for
basically,
you.
Basically, she doesn't even have an idea, perhaps, since she hasn't even been brought up with it. She doesn't have, like, an idea of what she should be looking for or what's acceptable, what she deserves of a father figure. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of, like, also what they're, like, trying to portray or what we're seeing. Because she sees Cass, which is, her dad, so to speak, like, the outside, and she can't have him. She's with Randy, and she's not being treated how she should be. She's not doing anything that, like, a 16 or 17-year-old should be stealing and, I guess, sacrificing for him, for a house, like, a roof over her head. So, she needs to find something that will be good for her.
Do you guys think that we're going to see her again?
I think we will. I think we'll see, like, an updated version and definitely see a different, maybe more of a nice, cleaner...
I hope we see a return of her in a better state, mm-hmm. And coming back to Cass with a little bit more respect than she's shown him. This is, I think, a good step, mm-hmm. but I think we definitely need to see her return with a little bit of more guidance, perhaps. So, Supernatural fans, you guys can let us know if you think we're going to see a return of Claire, what we think about the Rowena Crowley situation, what her real motives are. Go on to YouTube or iTunes, you know, tweet us, Facebook us, Instagram us, let us know what you're thinking. And if you think some of these characters are going to return and what they're going to do, their motives and everything, let us know. We write back to pretty much everybody on YouTube. We love you guys. So let us know what you're thinking. Rate us 5 stars on iTunes. And we love you guys. So thank you for everything. Next week,
yes.
We see the battle between Dean and Charlie. She's excited about it. She's having fun with it. I think this was probably really, really fun for them. To film and shoot. Mm. So let's do our predictions for next week and for the rest of the season.
And now,
Michaela, do you want to start?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Fabulous.
I actually wrote them down. Okay. So my first prediction is basically what we kind of just went over with Cass and Claire. So I'm predicting that they're going to have, going forward, a mutual understanding and just a friendly, like, basically a friendship. That's kind of all they can have. They can't have, like, a father-daughter mm-hmm. bond. So I think that's going to be good for the both of them. And I think she should be able to rely on him if she needs anything. There was a moment where he said in the car, he's like, I can know if someone's, you know, praying or longing or something mm-hmm. like that. So I think that's kind of good. And maybe that's, like, a hint they're giving us to know that he can come back into her life as well for that. And then my other prediction is Kane coming back. Obviously, we know that is happening. But I definitely think it has to do with what Metatron said about it dies
the source.
At the source. And I've been saying for a while that I think the mark has to go with Kane, because we know Kane asked Dean, when I call upon you, I want you to, you know, let me go.
And perhaps that's the reason why he'll be coming back, not because mm-hmm. they're looking for her, for him, or they think... But maybe it's because he's coming to them saying, okay, kill me now.
Right. Maybe. Yeah, exactly. Maybe they don't go looking for him. Maybe he comes back. So it's kind of... I really don't know. I want it to happen. So I hope so.
I think that's all. Yeah, that's about
Katie?
It.
Katie?
I think that we're going to see many more problems with this mark of Cain for Dean. And I'm also really wondering what is going on with that Charlie scene. I've seen the commercial for several mm-hmm. weeks now, and I'm wondering, why are they... fighting like that? Are they joking? Is it
a
joke?
Whole setup of a joke?
Yeah, or what's going on there? I mean, last time we saw her, she was in Oz.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened to her. If they are fighting, I wonder why.
There might be then a flashback scene to bring us up to date with as to why.
That's actually really interesting, Katie. I mean, yeah, I guess I didn't think about it till now. We've been seeing the previews for this, that maybe it's all just a big joke and it's, you know, almost like the musical episode where it was just all in fun and games.
Yeah.
And she's going to end up, you know, helping him or something. But it's really interesting, because that's all that we got was a few seconds of just her coming back and them fighting, whether it was joking or serious.
Right. We don't know.
We don't know. My prediction is, obviously, like Michaela said, we know Kane is going to come back. And I think you're right. I think it's not going to be them calling upon him. I think it's going to be him sacrificing himself. Mm-hmm. He's going to be in one episode because he's going to have to die. In order to take the mark mm-hmm. back or to take some of its power back, he's going to have to die with it. Mm-hmm. So I think he's going to sacrifice himself. I do think we're going to see a little bit more of Demon Dean. I don't think we're going to get the massacre like we did in episode 9. I think we'll see him maybe have to do some moments and some checks, like check yourself. But I think that I definitely think we'll see a little bit of the demon. But I think he's going to be able to refrain from that kind of craziness.
When you say Demon Dean, do you mean the extent of like his power and
his
anger?
His power and anger in order to kill somebody with the mark and okay. not just kill because he's protecting somebody.
So you don't mean actual being a demon?
Yes.
Okay. I was yes. like, okay. Just yes. clarify.
So that's my thoughts.
We also need to say congratulations to them for signing on for season 11.
Yes, season 11.
Which is exciting though because, oh my gosh, what's going to be the problem next season? There's still so much to go with this.
We'll be hanging still by the end of this season.
We'll be finding out good stuff next season.
Like, and they'll solve half a problem or the whole thing, and then there'll be, like, one cliffhanger where you're like, wait, does that change everything we've just been, like, watching or learning about it?
They have a lot more story to tell.
And Misha Collins, was it a People's Choice Award?
Yes, I think I saw
Misha Collins won a People's Choice Award for being a favorite sci-fi character. Yeah. So that was awesome. Congrats, Misha.
He deserves it.
We do have an interview with him at Supernatural Con along with Mark Shepard, Matt Cohen, Timothy Amundsen, mm-hmm. and
Tom O'Pennicott.
And yeah. So we have a bunch of interviews you guys need to check out on AfterBuzz TV or YouTube. Find those interviews. And where can the wonderful fans of AfterBuzz and Supernatural find you, Miss Michaela?
Thank you. You guys can find me on Twitter at Mickey_Phillips or on Instagram at Michaela Phillips.
You can find me on Twitter at Katie Campbell. That's Katie with three E's and Instagram at KatieCampbell13.
And you guys can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Lindsay Wegner. That's LYNDSEYWEGNER. My show, Tenardier's Inn, which is a Les Mis cabaret experience, opens this weekend. If you want tickets or are in the Los Angeles area, it's an amazing show that you all need to see. So anyway, we look forward to seeing you guys
next week
with the return of Charlie. Everyone have a great week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.